Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the winter break officially comes to an end with Scottish Cup weekend. A dramatic few days sees most of the favourites through, with Celtic rounding it off against Bucky Thistle to set up a tie with St Mirren. Rangers will play Ayr as they close in on the signing of Mohamed Diomande, and the likes of Partick Thistle and Airdrie were the big winners as three Premiership teams bow out. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Head of Sport at the Scottish Sun, Roger Hanna, and Motherwell midfielder Andy Halliday. Would you look at that, Roger Hanna? I hope he's got the strip on under that jumper.
Well, listen, this will be the weekend not remembered for Scottish Cup fifth round results, Gordon. This will be the weekend that people remember Super Scoreboard pundits spreading their wings from the radio, from Facebook, from YouTube, onto the TV screens. We had Kenny Miller standing in the rain at Dumbarton. We had Marvin Bartley at Paisley on Saturday, Parkhead on Sunday. We had Mark Wilson in Sports Scene without the spangly shirt this time. And we had Andy Halliday's Motherwell debut beamed around the globe. All we need now is to secure places for Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL on the next series of The Traitors, and we'll be content on world domination.
It's a 50-50 between that and Gladiators. We just need to see if Shug suits the spandex or not, but we'll maybe not put people off their dinner. How does it feel to join the greatest football club on earth? Are you happy? Are you a happy man?
I feel delighted, yeah. Good. And I can't wait to hear that Gordon Duncan has started a new Motherwell fan club, because I've heard plenty names over the years where you've started these. You've got a duty at hand now.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but I will be the only member of it so far. I think that's just the way it's going to be. But no, all good. Debut at the weekend.
Yeah, delighted. Delighted to get going. It obviously took longer than probably planned. But yeah, absolutely delighted. It's obviously been a tough season for myself. But listen, I'm just happy to get started with Motherwell and get some football now, and make you happy.
I was going to say, remember, I am much closer to your size, so if there's any training gear on the go, it goes to me and not Gordon DL.
Oh, I think Dazzle would fit into my gym though. Well,
I was down at Kilmarnock on Saturday, and they test all our kit online before the show starts, and when producer Michael was testing my gear, all I could hear in the background was DL and Duncan singing Halliday, Halliday, Andy Halliday.
That could be any supporters, by the way, singing that.
There's a few add-ons, I think, depending on who you support. But anyway, 0141 951 1025. Come on, do not let this opportunity pass you by. For the last couple of Mondays, we've not had a full complement of Scottish teams to look back on. We are back with a bang. Love Scottish Cup fourth round weekend. It did throw up some shocks, not loads, not massive shocks, but there were shocks there. There was a return to action for our Premiership teams. There were debuts for high profile winter window signings like Andy Halliday. So what are you thinking tonight? 0141 951 1025. If we start yesterday, I don't think there's much to go over in terms of results. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers picked a strong team. It was straightforward. It was bound to be. Could you take anything away? Was there anything you liked? I know Rocco Vatta, for instance, scored amid kind of speculation about his future. He came on and he scored. We didn't get to see Nicholas Kuhn yet. Was there anything there? What did you take away? What did you learn? And if it's not that, 10 days to go. Less than that, in fact. We're inside the last 10 days of the window. So is this the week? What do you want to see happen this week? Rangers fans, Mohamed Diomande looks imminent. I know the way it works. You've been on YouTube. You've been doing your research. Is that a signing that excites you? Is that what you need? And what else, again, are you expecting this week? If you've got anything to add from Dumbarton in horrendous conditions on Saturday night, let's hear from you. Partick Thistle fans, come on. Surely one of the results will let these two decide of the weekend. I'd love to hear from you or Airdrie fans, Motherwell fans. Is it the best 15-minute cameo debut you've ever seen, or was it just close? How would you rate Andy Halliday's bow in claret and amber? Anything else at all on a Monday night? Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Result of the weekend, go.
I'm going to go for Airdrie. St Johnson, famous cup double winners a couple of years ago. I don't think they've won a Scottish Cup tie since. And the pain increased. Nikolai Todorov beating his old mate Dimitar Mitov for the only goal. A smashing goal it was too. And the prize, a home tie against Hearts.
I think special mention to Bonnie Rigg. I think they're hard done by this week. Mm-hmm. But I think the storyline between Partick's return after that playoff heartbreak against Ross County last year, and not only that, the manner of victory as well. And Q, another very, very tasty Derek Adams interview to top it off at the end.
Indeed. I genuinely don't know if I've ever heard a manager pretty much say he shouldn't have taken the job. I mean, he didn't say it in so many words, but it's kind of what he was getting at, is it not?
Yeah, Latin, I thought it was an engrossing interview. I heard it on Saturday night. Fabulous interview. I think Derek's biggest crime since he came back up the road is honesty. I think when he had the more coming 100 times better than this lot, he let himself get a wee bit overexcited, but he certainly wasn't excited on Saturday
that's
night.
That's excited, is it? Okay. That's not the word I'd use for it.
A really bad result, and he's probably said things that he believes but maybe regrets saying publicly.
I love that as an out, like, you're just too honest. Just go about telling everybody what you think. I'm just honest. Just covers all your sins anyway.
That's the problem for Gordon Dale.
I think it's a lack of honesty, quite frankly. Goal of the weekend.
You'll love this.
Yes. It's about time.
Blair Spittle.
Look, he's dropped the jambos.
Oh,
like,
no, that's it.
Every week.
Any chance Motherwell get.
Come on.
At this part on a Monday, I'm taking it. But Blair Spittle, and by the way, you could take any.
Exactly.
Out of two.
That's why this is the right choice. Well, or one of the right choices this weekend.
The first one definitely in.
Yes. I've seen more than one angle, but I'm actually going to go for the first one, and I'll tell you my reasons. You know, I like a bit of a team move involved. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good move in the build up so early in the game, and his weaker left foot, so that's the reason I'm going
cross
for the first
one. Crossbar in always looks aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah,
scored a wonderful free kick, and even had time to miss a penalty. Don't mind that at all. Goal of the weekend for you,
James Cragan of Spartans. A flashing finish from outside the area. It brought them back into the tie against Hearts. It created a fantastic finale. And if you can whack one of them past Craig Gordon, you're doing well.
I saw him play tennis this morning, interestingly.
James Cragan.
Yeah, and he's quite a talented all-round sportsman by the looks of it.
I was questioning his decision to hit that with his instep as well, which made it even more impressive. I was just
rather than just swinging
at
it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine anyone sort of guiding it with the inside of their foot, but what a finish.
Brilliant. Okay, howler of the weekend then. Who are we going?
I'm going Stormisha. For a number of reasons. I've seen three gazebos flying by my face first thing this morning. It's affected the quality of football, I'd say, in some games we've watched this season, and it affected visual quality while watching the Dumbarton Rangers game late on Saturday. So,
and Aberdeen Friday. I don't know if that was technically Friday as well, but not as bad,
I would say.
Grim, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Weather-related awards on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What was your howler?
I think my howler has to be Derek Adams, doesn't it? Because, you know, he's only been in the door 2 minutes and he's given two of the best interviews of the season. I don't think either of them, though, has really done his squad, his club, or himself any great favours moving forward.
And I mean, the word best would be in the eye of the beholder. I'm sure Roy McGregor doesn't think they're the two best interviews of the season. Maybe the best to us. Honourable shouts, but you're both wrong, unfortunately. I know I don't usually give out awards, but the howler of the weekend was Mark Wilson's stage makeup on Sports Scene last night. Did you see it?
No, I've not.
I'm going to have to elaborate more when he's here, and I cannot wait to hear what his partner in crime made of it, because I know, because we phoned each other during it for quite some time. Unbelievable.
Have you got a wee picture for us?
Too much or not enough? Too much.
Oh,
and
God.
I mean, I must admit, I'm not exactly a makeup expert. Maybe hard to believe, but genuinely just.
I mean,
His face are different shades.
I know. Show that one. Come on.
Okay, if I speak the camera, it should zoom in on me eventually. There we go. You can actually see how white
his eyes are there.
Yeah, I'll keep doing that.
Put the rest of his face.
I've done the zoom. How's that for you? I'm not sure if it's picking up the colour. I don't know if it's doing it justice.
I think he's just went in for a sunbed with a pair of sunglasses on.
You imagine he married that with a white Hayley Hansen jacket.
Unbelievable. And since we've got calls coming in, and we should move on from Mark, Max Factor Wilson, what was your whatever's left? Top man, top performer.
I'm going to go for Brian Graham.
Great shout.
For a couple of reasons, as you'd imagine. Not only was him a result of the weekend, but he played a big part in that, obviously opening the scoring in that game as well. But Partick's women team making their first ever Women's Cup final, and he is, of course, the head coach. So what a weekend for that.
And we don't know if he can make the cup final yet, because it seems to be scheduled for the same day as a Partick Thistle game. But
I'm going to go for Christian Daly.
Unbelievable.
What a job he did last night. Rangers versus Ayr United. I spoke to the chairman of Ayr United just after the draw was made. He had more colour in his face than Mark Wilson did, let me tell you.
Money spinner.
An absolute Scottish Cup fairy tale money spinner.
Roger.
Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, he's delighted. We'll need to say it. That's the Gordon Dale Derby, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Ayr and Rangers, I suppose. Where it all started and where it all ended.
Yeah.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it. Right, let's go straight to the phones. John is a Rangers fan. How's it going, John?
Very well. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you, John. What are you thinking tonight? Is it about the weekend, or is it more about transfer business?
Well, I've seen obviously we're making votes for the new midfielder. I hope he can come straight into the team, and he's not a DM on the end of
the rough. Oh, I like it. That Roger Hanna is
Roger
writing that
Hanna
down.
Classic. That
I can't believe it's 6:15. Somebody's out.
That's
punge
a gem.
You.
That's a gem.
Oh, I see what I mean. Honestly. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a serious point in there from John. He just executed it magnificently. That's going to be done, isn't it?
Stormisha
delayed the flight or something?
Yeah, Storm or no Storm, I think he will be coming in. I think he'll be signing for Rangers. Interesting, when we've spoken this month about potential areas of the team that Rangers would look to enhance, and I'm not sure centre mid was necessarily one of them, but if you take a step back, Kieran Dowell is out for a period of time. Dujon Sterling has been utilised in there, not really a natural central midfielder. And throwing it forward, both John Lindstrom and Ryan Jack are out of contract in the summer. I think the club would like to keep one, if not both of them, but as things stand here in January, 4 or 5 months before the end of those deals, they are still coming out of contract, so it probably makes sense to add to the midfield options.
Andy, just the facts, in case people don't know, closing in the signing Rangers are of Mohamed Diomande from Nordjylland in Denmark, 22-year-old midfielder. Of course, would be the second piece of business. He's an Ivory Coast under-21 international, and as Roger says, middle of the park, basically, is what you need to know. Anything you can add? Is that one that you think should excite Rangers fans?
Yeah, I can imagine so. I think it fits the profile, what we've heard Rangers talk about for a long time. They talk about this sort of player trading model, and it seems as if he's one that sort of fits that bill. He's 22-year-old, I think, or 21-year-old maybe, and he's played over 100 games. Obviously, he's a product of the Right to Dream Academy, which has produced some high-profile players over the years. And Njoidalin, as you quite rightly said there, have produced some great players recently as well. So I think it's an exciting profile. Echo kind of what Roger says. It came from left field a little bit, where there wasn't too much in terms of rumours, and I didn't see that centre midfield area as a priority for Rangers this window. But in terms of profile, I think Rangers fans can get excited about it.
Is that fair, John? Is that the way you feel? We all know no signing's guaranteed, but profile, you know, can young, if he does do well, you either get great service out of him, or you know you get a sell on value, that sort of thing. Looking at different markets, is it the type of signing that you want Rangers to make more of?
I think it's a wee bit of a difference with obviously the new player recruitment guy. I think he's looking at things differently than the previous man, but you've got a younger team coming in. That's what you need. You need somebody that you can grow and sell on eventually. Maybe start getting onto that. And I think, obviously, the DM Monday looks good on paper, but further or no, he can shine on the field.
You were expecting another diamond joke there.
I was
as well. John just left it hanging. What do you think about, in terms of both the guys, John thought that maybe that wasn't an area Rangers would go for? What do you read into that? Has Philippe Clement decided one or more than one of those players already in that area are not cutting it, or what's the verdict?
Well, I think we've got to think of the injury situation as well. I mean, we've had a defender playing in midfield at times. It's not just the one area of the pitch that needs enhanced, but the whole team, really. So I'm really happy to see a young player coming in and see what he can do for us. But obviously, there's no guarantees until the scarf's above the head.
That's true. Does it, if we take it even further, is it an indicator in any way about the new contract scenario of either or both John Lundstrom and Ryan Jack?
Maybe. I wouldn't sort of read too far into it. What I do feel as if is it's sort of a player that's came up that Rangers feel like they can't refuse. And I think John's made a good point there. Is that the sort of route that Neil Scopin's seen in terms of Rangers recruitment moving forward? I think that's certainly over the years, I think that's what Rangers fans have been asked for. Over the summer, they talked about bringing the age profile of the squad down. I think they've done that. And again, they've obviously invested in a talent that could potentially obviously earn the money over the years.
I think that's the thing Rangers need to do. You know, the trading player trading model has only really worked in one window for Rangers, when Calvin Bassey, Nathan Patterson, Joe Aribo all left. Very successful in that window, but it's kind of stalled again, Gordon. And, you know, when they bring in players like Jack Butland, Tom Lawrence, etc., they're great for the here and now, but they don't really reflect the player trading model that the board talk about at AGMs and, you know, talk about to the supporters. So if you get 22-year-olds in, even if you just keep these guys for 3 years, 2 years, and sell them on at a handsome profit, then that's really the kind of thing Rangers need to be doing.
Yeah, let's actually hear a bit from Philippe Clement. He has also confirmed Abdallah Sima is returning to Rangers for assessment after picking up an injury in the African Cup of Nations with Senegal.
It's always dangerous to hear those things when they happen when you're not there. So I always like to hear my medical staff, what they think about things. So Abda is going to come back as fast as possible. I've been in contact with him yesterday already. He's going to come back as fast as possible to make a good assessment around that and to see how long he will be out.
Is that one that concerns you, John? Abdallah Sima injured?
I think it's just your luck with players, unfortunately. It seems that we kind of keep players fit for long periods of time. It's just something that seems to happen at Rangers, especially recently. I know when Clement came in, he was saying that was one of the things that he wanted to take a strong look at. I hope that's something that he can look at. I know he got injured on, well, away on international duty, but I think there's something there under the woodwork that's causing all these players to get injured all the time.
Yeah, it just feels entirely unsurprising that Abdallah Sima would get injured in that tournament. It feels bound to have happened.
It felt as if there was a doubt for a while whether he would make the Senegalese squad going to the African Cup of Nations. But he's been a mainstay at that left-hand side for Rangers. Roger might be able to correct me. I don't remember him missing a game this season. So he seems as if he's that one that's sort of been reliable day in, day out, week in, week out. And the fact that he's gone there and not played any minutes yet and still came back with an injury must be very frustrating for Rangers and Clement.
You take anything from Saturday, John, or is it just a case of getting through and moving on given the conditions and the gap between the two sides?
I think with cup games you've always got to respect every team no matter who it is. It's about getting through the next round and seeing what happens next. Obviously we've got a couple of challenging games coming up as well, so it's good to get some players in onto the pitch. I've seen a lot of minutes recently, but it's all to play for still. I still think we can still go for the treble, but we'll see.
Setting the sights high, nothing wrong with that. I get same to you two. Right, from a Rangers perspective, can they take anything good, bad or indifferent from Saturday?
Yeah, listen, this goes for Rangers against Dumbarton, Celtic against Bucky, Hearts against Spartans, Aberdeen against Clyde. All you can really hope for is to dodge the banana skin in the cup fourth round and to emerge with no more injuries. And I think they've all sort of ticked that box at the weekend. They'll all be very relieved to be through. They'll all be very relieved to have avoided each other in the fifth round draw. And they'll now crack on with league business.
It feels like, Andy, for up to a certain point, some more complaints about, you know, missed chances for Cyril Dessers and so on. Is Roger right? You just take that game on the chin, happy with the win, avoid the shock and move on?
Yeah, I think there's no going into the games, there's always very, very, very little to gain and everything to lose. And I think Rangers done a professional job, and I don't think there's much more to elaborate on that. It was a difficult watch, not only for the surroundings and the weather we were dealing with, but it wasn't a vintage Rangers performance. And listen, Dessers for me could have scored a hat-trick in the first sort of 20 minutes, but no, for all his qualms and a lot of people sort of questioning his finishing ability and his performance in general, 10 goals isn't a bad return for someone that doesn't play 90 minutes every single game.
Fair point. Thank you very much to John. This is your cue to get involved on 01419511025. If you want to add, agree, disagree to any of that discussion, please do. What about you, Celtic fans? Same question there. Can you, what do you take away from Bucky Thistle? Is there anything? Was there anything in there that you learned, that you took away? We said Rocco Vatta coming on and scoring for the first time. St Mirren away, it's not exactly the easiest draw you could have hoped for at this stage of the competition. Maybe get your thoughts in on that. Or if it's more general transfer business, it's a good time to do it. And we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Motherwell's Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are in the building. We're talking Scottish Cup games. We are looking back on results. And of course, everything we do this month has the transfer window open in the background. It's not letting in that much of a draft yet, but we hope by the end of this week Stormisha will find a way in and we'll get plenty of business done. So 01419511025 if you want to share your thoughts with us. Big cup shocks at the weekend, we could do a bit of that. So come on down. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Celtic fans, did you take anything away from Bucky Thistle? It's a fifth tier team against team top of the top tier, Scottish Cup holders, etc. So it's a different challenge. Did you learn anything? What did you learn? What did you take away? I said it before, maybe it's Rocco Vatta because you've not really seen him much and he's not scored before and there's been talk of a new contract. Was there anything there? What did you learn? Call us now if you can and I'll set you up with the thoughts of your manager. Brendan Rodgers, pleased with the professional display his side put in. His only gripe was the process, and I think he's maybe been working on this. It was delivered expertly, Roger Hanna. This soundbite on a frustrating VAR check.
Yeah, listen, it was a good day for both clubs. Obviously, from our perspective, professionally got the job done. Played some really good football and scored some good goals. Could have had more, but just timing maybe a little bit out. But and obviously for Bucky Thistle, it's an amazing day and the players gave everything and the support was there for the team right to the end. So, but for us, it was it was job done. I think the frustration that the one was the penalty one that was looked at. It should be looked at. It's offside. You know, but they had to for some reason. As maybe as protocol according to the fourth official, that they have to look to see if it's a penalty first before they look to disallow it because it's offside, which just seems ridiculous. Really, you. You know, soft side, then the penalty doesn't even matter, as we know.
The pause before as we know, that's been rehearsed. That is.
That was 100% rehearsed in the dressing room before that press conference.
I think we need to hear the audio. Of, you know,
you
the,
just did.
The, no, not the Brendan, right. The audio between the VAR and the referee.
Any idea what incident he's referring to?
Not too sure, actually.
Make it a very start. Are you kidding me on?
What?
Brendan.
Uh-huh.
And what? Then the other one, we're talking about the audio one.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one the Rangers game, is
well,
it? All right,
as you know.
I was just double checking that everyone was on the same page. Because I was in the press conference yesterday. I actually can't decide if...
Did you have a little titter?
I just couldn't decide it. I don't know if he even cares at all about the incident that he's discussed. Because was it four disallowed goals, I think? All correct.
Four, yeah.
Well, in fact, was there one that was a bit more of a... Because I was at the game, you don't get the same sense of it. Was there one that I think people thought Greg Taylor won?
Yeah.
You know, the offside, we've done it many times. Four offside goals, but then that, it just felt like he wanted to get that off his chest.
I'm sure he did. It would have been better if he had asked for the audio. Come on, Brendan.
I'm talking about timing. I think it was a bad of runs he was talking about in terms of timing. How many times you get caught offside?
He was involved in them all, I think, because it was even on top of the goals, there was one that Kyogo missed, a kind of open goal or an easy chance. Over the piece, though, before he got to that dramatic monologue at the end, Again, is that all you can do? Professional job, just make sure you... Hugh Keevans, he was very clear on Saturday, wasn't he? Five is acceptable, mm-hmm. four was not, as far as Hugh was concerned. It was almost
that
like...
That is some shoe up there.
Oh, he was so certain of it, like four was unacceptable.
Right. That's on there.
Five was fine.
That's on the shogometer.
So, well, job done. They listened.
Yeah. Inspired by Hugh Keevans. Five goals, into the fifth round, quite happy. Listen, you need to remember as well, Celtic, a lot of players missing. The lads are away at the Asian Cup. Cameron Carter-Vickers still injured. And
it was a strong team though.
It was a strong team, but that just shows that Brendan Rodgers didn't want to take any risks. They wanted to get the players back out there. Callum McGregor was only a real big hitter who was rested, if you like, and they got the job done. And I think Brendan, the takeaways will be that they got the job done. Rocco Vatta's performance in goal, Daniel Kelly making a debut as well, great start. I think five of the players that finished the game all went to the same school at different times as well, five of the Celtic players, and it's job done.
What about Brian, who's on the line? What did you take away from it, Brian?
Well, main word, respect. I've got massive respect after yesterday for the Bucky Thistle. Now, they are a fifth-tier team. They arrived in their numbers. Their fans were incredibly like joyous. I mean, there's no way in the world any of them could have arrived and thought they're going to beat Celtic at Celtic Park. And possibly if one of them did, then, you know, carried away. But outstanding as a support, and it kind of makes me miss all the other teams in the leagues and all that coming along in their numbers. But that I said, the magic of the cup, what did I take away for the Celtic team? A midfield without Callum McGregor would be, you know, like unthinkable. And yet we saw three, Holm and O'Reilly and Bernardo, play together. Like, well, you know, regardless of the opposition, the kind of football that they were, one touch, and particularly Holm's goal, I think was a lovely 1-2s. And it looked good on eye to see the three. So that unthinkable sort of Callum McGregor not being there, if we can secure Bernardo in at the end of the season, make sure that we can, well, I mean, money will talk when it comes to O'Reilly. Holm, to me, he's maybe needing a couple of more wee runs in the team to see how that can develop, but he looks an exciting prospect as well. I think watching the team develop and the boys that are coming back, I mean, especially the Carter-Vickers, I think Scales, who's been outstanding all season, Scales could do a wee bit of rest. I mean, I'm not saying that Saturday was his, you know, Titanic, didn't he sink? He just looks, you know, that his decision making's just a quarter off what it was before we had the break. But I think, honestly, think that Celtic can push on for here and win quite convincingly. I think we can win the league. And I mean, I'll say this because the two games that we lost to Hearts, and a minute just before, I want to forget about
Kilmarnock.
So both these games, that flatness, that you know, second ball, everything, it's really gone, and it's like the break has done Celtic good. That Rodgers has had enough time, even losing the players that have gone out to Asia, and Carter-Vickers been out. Rodgers has had a good time to instill in these players, here's your job, here's what you should be doing, and getting, you know, like further forward in the league as a mentality from here. And I think we have that mentality as a tradition. We kick on for here. But it'll come down to the window. I mean, as Hugh Keevans has said, it would have been an unmitigated disaster had we won 4-0.
It sounds like something he would say. I mean, Roger, you don't want to get too, like, patronising about it, or to like misty eyed about the romance of the cup, but was that kind of it? You know, you respect that Bucky did as, you know, as well as they could and ran their hearts out and all that again, and that definitely sounds patronising. They had that chance, they had a great chance, you know, through on goal. Was that just all it was ever going to be?
Listen, they did really well. I think, you know, it was only themselves and Brora left from the Highland League, and they represented the league well. Graham Stewart will take them back up the road, and they will focus on winning the Highland League and winning the playoff and getting into the SPFL, because that is the next step for Bucky. They're not going to come to Celtic Park every season. They're not going to get to the fourth round of the cup every season. Progress now for Bucky. and they'll be able to bank close to £250,000, I think, from their adventure in Glasgow yesterday. Progress for Bucky now is getting into the SPFL.
Yeah, Andy, I get, can it still be? I mean, Brian mentioned like Odin Thiago Holm as an example. He's probably the only what you would call fringe player that played from the start. It was a strong team. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Callum McGregor's going to come back in at some point. Is the gap in the two teams, is it too big for that to be a springboard for someone like him, or is every game an opportunity?
Yeah, I think his opportunity has been so limited throughout the season. I think any time he gets a jersey, he has to grasp it. And I've got to say, I've mentioned it a couple of times, I think I've seen him in flashes coming off the bench, and I thought he's looked like a really tidy technical player. But like Brian says, he's just sort of been starved of opportunities and a run in the team, which I think is important. Another guy who's benefiting for that run in the team, Paulo Bernardo, looks like a completely mm-hmm. different player for the sort of month post-winter break to what he was at the start of the season. It seemed as if in his contact he was only allowed to play Champions League games, because it seems as if that was the only start he was getting.
It's also like stylistically, it seems, and you caveat, it's only Bucky, I know, but, you know, scoring goals and thinking the goalkeeper, you know, at the start, even when we did see him, it looked like he was just legs, you know, he was just going to get about, and I suppose maybe that's the job he was asked to do, Champions League, but, you know, there's clearly a player in there that's capable of, you know, attacking up the pitch a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goal's probably unlucky. That would probably get the goal of the weekend than any other day, because he takes up a lovely position and Matt O'Reilly plays that reverse pass into his feet. Obviously, great first touch to set it up and then a dink over the keeper. So he's one that's obviously benefiting for this run in the team. And I completely agree with Brian. For me, that was the magic of the cup. Although Bucky don't take anything away from the game, for me, that's why it was the standout game in the draw, because they had an opportunity to take 3,000 fans from the Highlands up to Celtic Park. Mm. And what a memory they could have taken away if Josh Peters scores that chance at 2-0.
Stephen Welsh's cousin, wasn't it?
It was a shame they missed each other, I think, by 7 minutes, wasn't it? Josh Peters was subbed just before Stephen Welsh got to come on. But they swapped shirts at the end. And I think Josh Peters is a good player. And he started off, he had a spell at Hibs earlier in his career. And, you know, he will take chances like that in other games. He just didn't take the one yesterday.
He's thought about that chance during the sleep 20 times plus last night. 100%.
Realistically, that's about, as you know, people talk, you know, last season Darvel and Aberdeen, is it the biggest cup shock of all time? Is that about as big a gap in a Scottish Cup tie as really will get? Is it Celtic and Bucky? When you think about it, it's the 5 tiers, and it's all right, you know, obviously Celtic aren't just any other top tier side, it's, you know, multiple champions recent seasons. So Is that about a bigger gap as you think you can get?
Yeah, Darvel was they were sixth tier last season. West Drumchapel,
Drumchapel got to the fifth Drumchapel round, but I think they
were up as well. Mm-hmm.
But again, Elgin they played?
But again, we're not talking just tiers, are we? Because once you get to the top tier, then obviously Celtic, sit at the very top of that. Yeah. So,
and it was great. And well, listen, if Brora win, I think Brora have got the rearranged game against Cove Rangers tomorrow night. Yeah. Prize of a trip to Kilmarnock for them. Maybe the longest trip in Scotland.
What about Gordon Dale's big setup on Saturday?
Oh, terrific. Honestly, I was still laughing when I was driving home.
He was giving it all. There's not going to be any shocks, and he was dismissing them all. And then I can't even remember how he set it up. Some big, stupid, elaborate joke.
He said the big shock of the weekend is going to be Rangers.
Brora will beat Cove, but it was off. He didn't know it was off. It had been off for like a day before. Brian, any thoughts on Rocco Vatta?
I thought Rocco was quite excellent when he came on. His movement's quite smooth. For a big lad, you know, he has got nimble feet. And the goal that he scored was very Kyogo-esque. He just popped his cell off the ball, came across, and in the net at the right place at the right time. That and a young man, you can't teach that. I think, you know, like, so a young guy being natural to that. Whether he's going to get his chance or not, I would have thought possibly I'm going out on loan, not selling him, because I think with the history of his dad and the boy's a player, you can see he's a player. My mates and I, we went up and seen him a few games last season for the B team, and he bossed it. You know, there's a good reason why he's still at the club, and I really hope the Celtic resist any temptation to get is that a £350,000 development fee? Is it?
I think it varies, doesn't it? Tribunal sort of thing. Let me bring you Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on it. He said he was happy, like you, Brian, to see the first Celtic goal. He's now telling the youngster he must earn more opportunities.
For young players, they have to earn the right. I think the likes of Rocco, there's been a lot of noise around Rocco, but any young player has to earn the opportunity. I've given many young players the opportunities in my career. But I like Rocco. He has qualities. You know, he's strong. He's aggressive. He 25 yards in, he wants to get goals. And you can see even in that little bit, he came on, he got his goal and he had another few opportunities. So that's nice for him, gives him a taste of it. He's a talent. Maybe it depends what the mentality is with him and his representatives, you know. Because you get some young players whose representatives will tell you that if they're not playing in the first team, starting, they don't want to stay. Well, then you better go then. Because you've got to earn the right. He's 18. I don't need players ready at 18 unless they're real, real special talents. But by 2021, they need to be ready. And but I think you can see with him, he has tools. And this can be a really good place for him to develop.
He was on form in the press conference yesterday. That all sounded like a man who wanted to take an opportunity to express a message to Rocco Vatta and or his representatives, Roger.
Yeah. I watched, because I'm sad and I'm an Anorak, Gordon, I took in a bit of Blackpool versus Nottingham Forest, an FA Cup replay last week.
Some life you live, honestly.
That's in the fast lane. A young lad running about playing for Blackpool by the name of Karamoka Dembele. Mm. And I'd actually forgotten all about him until I saw him playing for Blackpool and also missing a really big chance in that game. And it is a lesson in patience. I can imagine Andy Halliday, yourself, myself, at 17 or 18, being impatient in life. And young footballers at that age are impatient in life. They want everything laid before them there and then. And I get the impression that Rocco Vatta is a bit impatient and would go elsewhere now in pursuit of first team football now. The message from Brendan Rodgers, and Brendan Rodgers picked him yesterday on the bench and put him into the team and gave him the platform to score the goal. The message is, Rocco, sign a contract, show a little bit of patience, and when you're ready, and there's a good chance you will be ready, son, when you're ready, I'll put you in the team.
That said, Andy Halliday, last week when we spoke about the signing of Nicholas Kuhn, everyone was counting up Celtic wingers and saying they had eight. Nicholas Kuhn was the eighth winger. No one even included Rocco Vatta on that list. Rocco Vatta becomes winger number nine at Celtic currently. Maybe some will leave. Brian said it. How does he get the chance and when does he get it?
Well, from the outside looking in, it seems as if he's been making a lot of headways in terms of his B-team performances. So it seems as if he's doing all he can at the moment. For me, the next step, if you aren't going to break into that Celtic first team, is a loan. But I'm not, is he out of contract in the summer?
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine if Celtic are going to allow him out on loan.
Contract first.
What, a contract extension first.
Thank you, Brian. Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One.
Brenda was in the bath when she entered Make Me a Winner. The only other person we ever speak about being in the bath is the Dazzler. His is Monday, his is Wednesday, his bath night. So
different baths,
different night. She's going to take the family on holiday, pay some bills, give her garden a huge makeover. We could make you the winner of £85,000. Just think, you could replace all the garden furniture that blew away last night. Get it paid into your bank straight after the call tomorrow, but only if you're in the draw. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings and say make me a winner straight away to win the 85 grand. You're looking at me, you want to say something?
No, I was just going to ask, how's your trampoline?
Pinned down with two garden slabs, safe as houses. I was so chuffed when I got up this morning and it was still there. But anyway,
Have you speaking of Storm Isha matters, have you heard from your dear friend
Christopher
from Ayrshire? Power knocked out at 10pm last night, still in the dark
on the ranch.
Yes.
Ach, listen, first world problems. Text YES to 61025. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are in the building. It's 0141 951 1025, and it is up to you. Scottish Cup games, transfer window, Andy Halliday's Motherwell debut, anything at all, pick up the phone. Mark Wilson's stage makeup on Sports Scene last night, whatever you like, we'll talk about anything on here.
What a record he's got in Sports Scene.
The shiny shirt.
I mean, it was 5 years before they asked him back after the shiny shirt.
Have you ever seen the shiny shirt, Andy Halliday?
I don't think so, no.
I don't know how I'm ever going to find this, to be honest. I do have it on my phone, but I've got 4,000
pictures.
Mark Wilson's
shiny shirt? I can't even picture it.
Oh, it's a builder.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. He was basically on Sports Scene one night years ago, and he wore a it's like metallic, like shiny.
No, I don't believe it.
It's a doozy.
I'll try and find it whilst we speak to Chris, who's an
from Ayrshire.
Well, yes, he's in Ayr, and he's an Ayr United fan, right up your street, Roger Hannah. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, very well, Gordon. How are you, Andy and Roger?
Chris. Exciting times, Chris. You're off to Ibrox in the next round of the Cup. Closing in, maybe, on a new manager. What have you got for us tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to see what the lads thought of the potential appointment of Scott Brown and what it means for the club and maybe for Scott. But, I mean, I don't think it's money related. Obviously, not going to Ayr United, but... just to see what our thoughts were on it,
that was all. Well, yeah, in case anyone's thinking, what's this? That it is a name, Roger Hannah, that's doing the rounds. Scott Brown to Ayr. The likelihood that it happens?
I think there's a chance. I wouldn't say any more than that at the minute. I believe interviews were ongoing yesterday and today. Davey White will take the team again against Arbroath tomorrow night. There may well be, I think the hope is, there'll be an appointment before they go to Hampden to take on Queen's Park on Saturday. Listen, the names you have seen are the names that are in the frame. Scott Brown being among them. I think Gary Bowyer was probably favourite last week before he withdrew from the running, and that's just late. Others, including Scott Brown, have their say, and I'll be very interested to see the decision that the board take.
Yeah, he's had the experience from Fleetwood. I'm sure he's learnt a lot from his time there. And it would be an interesting appointment for Eddie. Obviously, he's got that relationship with technical director Aidan McGeady as well. And I think it would be a bold appointment from there, but it's one you can understand as well.
One you would be in favour of, Chris?
Yes, it would be. It would be. I think it kind of, like, in a smaller scale, it's a kind of Gerrard to Ibrox type thing. That's the way I'm looking at it.
It's a player profile.
A big coup for us.
And he might take the team to Ibrox next month in the Cup, Chris. He'll get a warm welcome there.
Well, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of the draw itself, Chris? Is that, you happy with that? Do you appreciate what it does for the club? Or you do with a wee easier one first?
It's a money spinner, that's it. And it's with the amount of work that's going on at the club off the park at the minute, I think with the amount of money we can get off of that game would be massive for the club.
Yeah, I always think it's a difficult balance for so-called smaller clubs. You get to a stage, I don't know, when Bonnie Rigg Rose or someone's still in it, you think, well, I'd like that and I'd like to try and progress. But then with that comes the risk that you don't go through. And it's all up in smoke. Go to Ibrox, split the gate receipts, and
I'm not sure. I think if they had that tie of Bonnie Rigg at home.
Yeah, that's the difference though. He's shaking his head. You're thinking like the chairman.
Well, I'll give you an example. Last season they had got to the quarterfinals. They drew away to League One Falkirk. Had they won that, they would have got Championship rivals Inverness in a semi-final, and they could have been all the way to the final. But it was coulda, woulda, shoulda, because they lost at Falkirk and they didn't make a single pound out of the Scottish Cup. So at a time when, as Chris says, there's a lovely new stand getting built on the far side at Somerset Park, there's a lovely new supporters hub in the car park there, the place is looking as well as it has done for many decades, I would say. It doesn't fund itself, so getting a sum that could go up to £250,000, depending on the crowd at Ibrox, depending whether TV take it or not, it is a jackpot for you.
Scott Brown is Ayr manager, aside from the visit to Ibrox. It'll be an interesting proposition.
Yeah, but I can understand Chris's point. I think he'll be able to attract players. I think he's a type of character I think players will want to play for as well. So, you know, Ayr have been a funny one this year. Obviously, with the run they had, they were top of the league, second of the league for a large part of last season. You looked at some of the recruitment and players they brought in this season, you felt as if they were going to have a right go. But they lost Roger Hannah's favourite Ayr player of all time, it seems like, in the summer.
Oh, you've taken that too far.
Oh, yeah.
Big Dipple was good. No, not a favourite of all time. No.
Well, they certainly haven't replaced him. Modern this year, it seems like.
I think someone sent me a clip a couple of weeks ago, and it was Scott Brown, and they had, like, it was against you, and they'd been lip reading him. You seen that? And as he says something to you, and I just quite liked it. I thought it was funny. He says something, well, I've not missed you. And then he's like imitating something that you're saying
sure,
to him. No?
I'm not sure. No.
Have you seen it, Roger?
What game would it have been?
I think it's a Hearts Celtic, maybe the Cup game.
I'm not sure.
Although I do see that. Ever since you've come back from Turkey, like that, has been growing his hair.
Aye.
Imitation. It's a form of flattery.
That's that trend starting.
Can you cause any sort of shock at Ibrox, Chris, when it comes round?
I doubt it, to be honest with you, but you never know. It's 11 men against 11 men, so who knows?
You never know. Thank you very much to Chris. If you've any thoughts on the draw itself and the type of ties that it's thrown up, please do get them in. And in the meantime, we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Tell you what, Equatorial Guinea beating Ivory Coast 4-0. Didn't have that down.
Have I got time to tell something quickly?
Absolutely.
When I was at Middlesbrough, Aitor Karanka came in and they brought a load of Spanish players. And I seen that name in Sui scored a hat trick the other day, and I was like, Emilio in Sui? I'm sure I played with him, and I checked. I played with him at Middlesbrough, and he was a right back. He's playing up front for Guinea. So the hat trick the other day, double today against Ivory Coast.
See the reach of knowledge that our pundits have. It just, honestly, incredible. And they're about to try and show it off on Beat the Pundit. If you want to take them on, 01419511025. Fresh from his appearance as the Chaser last week, the Hanarak is back. And you could take on Andy Halliday as well, but you have to call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Monday night means Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday reflecting on a busy weekend of Scottish Cup action. Like to hear from some of you fans whose team caused an upset. That would be nice. Give us a call. Looking back on, of course, what happened yesterday at Celtic Park and Rangers at Dumbarton on Saturday. But I think more for those clubs, perhaps it's about the transfer window. We're into the closing stages. So what are you making of it so far? And what are you expecting this week? Any eyewitnesses to Andy Halliday's Motherwell debut? Feel free to share them as well. And very soon we're going to be joined on the show by a man who was given the most prestigious award. He was named Man of the Weekend by one of these two earlier on. So we'll do that after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. You have to be brave on a Monday night because Andy Halliday is pretty good at Beat the Pundit, and Roger Hanna, he's been branching out. He's now impersonating famous quizzers. Did you hear about this, Andy Halliday?
I did, yeah. I really enjoyed it as well.
You like the Wilson and DL quiz.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So for anyone who's wondering what we're on about, you can go back and watch it on YouTube. Last Thursday night we had the quiz, Mark Wilson against Gordon DL again. It was their second round, and we parodied The Chase. So Roger Hanna did his very best Anne Hegarty impression, came in here. He was the chaser. Needless to say, you hunted him down, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, took a moment.
The Dazzler almost got away. He's slippery like that, the Dazzler. Oh, when you think you've pinned him down, he gets away, but you got him in the end.
Particularly when he had two phones and a sheet of answers.
Yeah, I've had a few interesting suggestions about how he performed so well at that music round, but there we go. Tonight's more conventional. It's Beat the Pundit, and it's with Kenny and Balak. How's it going, Kenny?
Good, mate, good.
Good stuff. You? Yeah, all good in here. Have you ever played this before?
No, I have not.
Good
no.
man. I love your style. These two are quite tough to beat, but that's good. I always say it, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We saw some cup shocks this weekend. Will this be another one? Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. Tails, it's Roger Hanna. And it is, you know, someone, two people in the last like day or so have asked me, do you actually toss the coin? Are you honestly truthful? And I always am.
Sure, let me see you.
Pride myself on it.
Yeah.
Tails, who is that? You?
Yeah.
There we go. Sorry, Kenny, it's Roger Hanna. But he does start
Kenny, good luck.
On minus one.
Yeah, thank you, good luck.
He does start on minus one. So let's give Roger some greatest hits radio to listen to. I think that's him, right? 30 seconds, Kenny. Answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that is fine by me, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What animal is Ross County's mascot?
A stag.
Who's currently the only Scottish manager in the English Premier League?
David Moyes.
New Dundas Park is the home ground for which SPFL side?
Pass.
Hibs' Rocky Bashiri is currently playing at the AFCON for what country?
Guinea.
Who did Walter Smith replace for his second spell in management at Rangers?
Paul Gwynn.
Cameron Carter-Vickers joined Celtic from which club?
Spurs.
If five players are sent off during a game, how many players will be left on the field?
17.
That's just a bit tricky one. Just to keep the mind sharp, let's bring back Roger Hanna. You got us? Yeah. Loud and clear, and someone needs to turn your mic on. There we go, you ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What animal is Ross County's mascot?
A stag.
Who's currently the only Scottish manager in the English Premier League?
David Moyes.
New Dundas Park is the home ground for which SPFL side?
Bonnie Reg Rose.
Hibs' Rocky Bashiri is currently playing at the AFCON with which country?
DR Congo.
Who did Walter Smith replace for his second spell in management at Rangers?
Paul Le Guin.
Cameron Carter-Vickers joined Celtic from which club?
Tottenham.
If five players are sent off during a match, how many players will be left in the field?
17.
What? I don't know. Just a bit of arithmetic in there just to keep you sharp. Kenny, how do you think it went?
Maybe a draw.
Let's find out. He does start on minus one, and it took him a while, if he does claw it back at all, because you both got Stag, you both got Davy Moyes. You, Kenny, did not get New Dundas Park, Bonnie Rigg Rose, Sea of Falkirks. Yeah. You wouldn't have got that, would you?
No.
Even though we spoke about it at 10 to 6 before coming on air.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
Producer John's still in therapy.
Yeah.
He asked you if you'd played there. We had this full conversation.
I know, but I thought he was talking about Dumbarton, remember? So I missed him saying New Dundas Park.
Well, anyway, we're level. Rocky Bashiri is with DR Congo. Roger Hanna goes one in front. You both got Paul Le Guin, you both get Tottenham, and you both got 17 players left. So it's like, Kenny, you couldn't have done much more. I thought, actually, when it finished, I thought it was a draw. In my head, that full time, it was a draw, and only now that I've gone over them, you did pip it by one, I think, didn't you?
DR Congo did it for me.
Yeah,
because Bonnie Rigg Rose pulled you level with the handicap. DR Congo stretched your lead.
Wow. That was great, Kenny.
Good performance for Kenny.
Kenny, phone in another night. It's as simple as that. You'll win any other night. Good man. Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks a lot.
Fair play to Kenny.
That was done well,
yeah. What was the score?
6-5.
6-5.
It was a good game. Did you get them all right? Of course, it's a stupid question. Just always gets them all right. Do you want to go for the 10?
Yeah.
Who scored Celtic's only goal when they were beaten by Inverness in 1999?
Mark Burchill.
Boring. Which Scottish League 2 team have a fish on their badge?
Peterhead.
Come on. And news to me, true or false, Bob Marley was a Celtic fan?
I'm going to have to say true.
Yeah, apparently it's true. So you got the 10.
Bob Marley was a Celtic fan?
I don't know. How did he like his donuts?
No idea. Stop it.
We're jamming.
Awful, awful. Get out. Get him out, seriously. Honestly, someone talk about every day being a school day in this show. It says in my, I've got brackets and everything, that Dixie Deans met him and said he could name the Lisbon Lions off by heart.
There you
go. I can't argue with that.
No.
This is fresh on the back of Saturday's big revelation. Did you see the thing that was doing the rounds on QI?
Oh, fantastic.
Nope.
So I played this out on Saturday. It was like a Nigerian comedian was on, you've heard of QI, obviously, it's a well known TV show, and revealed. He's never heard of QI, has he?
Nope.
Revealed that in Nigeria, like an insult, if you want to insult somebody and say, like, they're an idiot, you call them a Dundee United.
No.
Seriously? I'll send you the clip.
Why?
I think we've got it, actually. Do we still have that from Saturday?
Well, I was born in London, but my parents had me move back to Nigeria to make sure I learned to speak English properly. And for that, I thank them.
Right? Yes.
And most Nigerian boys heard at home, whenever we did something stupid, which for me was very regular, we used to get called Dundee United.
It's Nigerian slang for idiot.
Dundee United.
Yes.
Yeah,
so, it's been around for about 30 years. Sometimes just a Dundee is the slang for an idiot, and a group of idiots would then be a Dundee United. And you can also just call somebody a complete Dundee United, is that right?
Yeah. I singularly was a complete Dundee United.
That's mental.
Incredible, isn't it? Did you know that before? You know everything.
No, I never heard it.
You did.
I didn't. I knew nothing about it. You knew you played started it as well. Fantastic.
Somewhere in the back of my head, I feel like I had heard
and
it before.
And then the story about the tour in the '70s and everything was great.
Brilliant.
So absolutely great.
That and Bob Marley, we aim to educate on this show.
That's wild.
You won't forget those.
We entertain, educate, and inform.
Something like that.
You educate and inform.
And you entertain something like that. 01419511025. Just before we move on, and he's getting a tough time tonight, and it's not even his partner here. I've found the shiny shirt Mark Wilson in Sports Scene just because Andy Halliday hadn't seen it before. You like that garment?
It's not great.
You rock
it?
One of them.
It's not great. Do you know what though? For some reason, I had pictured like a silver, like proper silver shiny shirt. Like that's not great. Don't get me wrong.
That was BBC Sport. Do you think he's gone to audition for Strictly and he's gone into the wrong studio?
I like that guy. Remember the famous
Yeah
when they, is he not like a, what, what's the story with that guy? He's like a, he's,
he a, driver.
He's a driver.
He was a driver.
And he ends up live on BBC News talking about some sort of technology, doesn't he? Oh, that's brilliant. Anyway, it could well be that. Wrong place, wrong time. 01419511025. You want to talk about the weekend's action? You want to talk about the transfer window? You can do. Thanks. People are now sending me Mark Wilson's shirt. Thank you to Joyful. And Matthew has given me, he's given us the date, apparently August the 9th, 2015. If you want to go back in the archives.
2015?
Yeah. Go back a bit, isn't
he? Someone suggested it was put in the same shop as the Breakin' Tracksuit, and the Breakin' Tracksuit get bought first.
There is every chance. I'm going to start a new feature on the show, I think, where every Monday already, I ask you two to name a main man, a top performer of the weekend. And it doesn't need to be too obvious. It's not just like somebody who played well. It can be, but we're always looking for just a bit more. Is there a story there? I think we should try and call the top performer every week and see for the answer.
Like it.
This week, you went for
Brian Graham.
And he's on the phone right now. Oh, so this is week one, probably the first and last week of this feature. But anyway, Brian, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure to have you. I don't know if you caught it. Andy said you were a man of the weekend because, of course, you scored for Partick Thistle in that win at Ross County. And you are, for anyone who doesn't know, the head coach of Partick Thistle's women's team, who then went and got through to the final of the Sky Sports Cup yesterday. What a weekend you've had. It
definitely was. Thanks, Andy. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. I'm sure that meant more than the other two.
Ah, exactly. That's the real honour. I mean, sum it up. How good a weekend was that for you?
It was crazy. It was a bit long, to be honest. Obviously, first trip, we were up there in Inverness on Friday for the overnight stay for the trip to Dingwall. We obviously had a wee story there. Obviously, the playoff loss last season, which was a bit of a disappointment. But if we got, to go up there against the Premiership side and win 3-0 on a Saturday was excellent. But then to go and get my team into a national final for the first time in the history books is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this on Saturday. It feels like the Thistle fans on social media were kind of joking, saying like they never wanted to go to Dingwall again, just like, you know, the thought of it, you know, the memory. As a player, was it different? Did it feel like, did it add, you know, just even a couple of percent fire in the belly to go and bring a good memory back down the road?
Yeah, listen, a couple of years we're still talking about it, pre-match, to be honest. We're standing on the pitch having a laugh with each other. Well, to be honest, that was really happening pre-match, but to go there and win so convincingly, that was probably sent out a wee message that we had to go and make sure we wronged the right, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Let's go through them in order then. Just how good did it feel? We said on the weekend, look, everything is technically a shock because you're in two different divisions, but there's not exactly many places between you. Was there that real belief there? How did it feel to get through the next round?
That's fantastic. It's fantastic for the club. Obviously, they get some more money. And I'd imagine the gaffer probably chapping the door asking for the transfer windows open, so he might be trying to bring a few more bodies in, so that could help him potentially. But we knew going up there we had the confidence that we could go and get the victory, and we went and done it in style. I thought we started the game extremely well. Apart from they had a couple of chances just after half time, but apart from that, I felt we looked really solid and compact, and I was happy for the goalkeeper to get a clean sheet as well.
And you and I spoke last week in a different capacity, you know, about the fact that you still, you know, you're joint top scorer in the championship and you're the head coach of the women's team through to the final of the Sky Sports Cup beating Hibs. How does the joy compare? You stick the ball in the net at Dingwall, that's what you've been used to, it's your bread and butter, but you're then responsible for, you know, overseeing everything and the team gets through to a cup final. How does the joy compare?
You're probably more nervous than the manager because you're the one that everybody's looking at, but on a Saturday you're part of your team, so collectively you could do it. But if things go wrong, you know, in football they point the finger at a manager, so it's probably harder being the manager than it is being a player, that's for sure. But to go and get a fantastic weekend, to top it off we get into a final and seeing my players with the credit they deserve, because they were absolutely fantastic against a full time outfit, don't forget that as well. We're only part time and we're punching way above our weight. We're competing now to qualify for the top six for the second consecutive season, so we're going really well at the moment. We're in a final. We're still in the Scottish Cup. Things are looking up for the club.
Brian, it's Roger Harris. You get the all-important first goal up there. A former Ross County player, you'd enjoy that. You must have known it was going to be your day when Bannigan scores that goal in the second half.
Well, I'll go back to what I started with. We were laughing and joking about it. Obviously, the playoff game, and I was saying to Banzo, what about your chance in extra time? And he said, with your testimony with you, what that would have topped off for you. And he said to me, Brian, I'm not that lucky enough to score a winner in a playoff final. So, and then to go and score that wonder goal just kind of summed the weekend up.
Has there been any progress today? Because obviously there is a clash of dates, a very unfortunate clash of dates. You'll need to play for Chris Doolan's team. Surely Sky Sports and the SWPL will move that cup final.
Well, that's what we're hoping. I think there may be contact this morning, but I don't know for definite. But when they did put it out, the SWPL did put it out, they either said it was going to be the 23rd or the 24th of March. So I'm hoping they change it to the Sunday. That would be, in my eyes, the sensible outcome. But sometimes you don't get everything you want in football. But I think it'd be devastating if I get my team to their first ever final and I don't get to lead them out. So we'll see how the next couple of weeks plan out.
How would you say, are you confident that is going to happen, or have you started thinking about the worst case scenario? It must be a really strange, a kind of bittersweet thought, because obviously, as you say, the positivity of getting through, but then the worry of missing it.
No, the worry's still there, believe it. I'm still worried that I'm going to get to miss it. I'm still in the dark, same as you guys, so I'll be on my phone, I'll be standing by at the phone on tenterhooks for the next couple of days to see if there's any outcomes of it.
And we'll have a word, Brian, because you know what happened last season. A highly rated Partick Thistle manager pushed Rangers all the way in a cup tie and they sacked him 3 hours later. So we'll have a word, make sure it doesn't happen to you.
Fingers crossed.
It's Roger, it's one of those things, like, hopefully, you know, I don't know if common sense is the right word, because obviously there are reasons and hopefully it can get ironed out. Who would have known? Maybe Brian would say he would have known, because he had confidence his team could get to the cup final, but it's just strange, isn't it?
There is no way in this world the people organising the Sky Sports Cup will want the negative publicity of having Partick Thistle women's team in their first ever final and the managers elsewhere playing for Partick Thistle men's team. The game will be moved. The game needs to be moved. We will start a campaign for you, Brian.
I fancy a bit of both. Can I do one, you know, like get them in a helicopter or something? Get the kind of GoPro on them. I was thinking like entertainment value. What did you make of the draw for the next round of the men's cup, Brian?
We actually watched it. I mean, a few of the girls at Battyfair Hill after the game yesterday. We watched it at Fair Hill and we wanted a home tie. Obviously, we've got Livingston, who are a place below Ross County, but David Martindale's team are always good. They're always strong. So they'll be coming to Farrell. They probably fancy their chances as well, but it's another tie we believe we can win. Maybe we can go on a cup run with the men's side in the Scottish Cup. You just never know.
You'd look to fancy that, Roger. It's going to be a good one. People already poking fun and saying, I'm sure Partick Thistle must have a bigger budget than Livingston, because we hear that.
All of that chat with Ian Murray and David Martindale last week, it'll be the same coming up to this tie. Listen, Brian will tell you it'd be fantastic for the Jags to go as far as they can in the cup, but off the back of Dingwall last season, the priority for Thistle must be getting back to a playoff final. And listen, where are Ross County just now? Second bottom of that Premiership. You could be headed back up that road, Brian.
Well, don't do that to the fans, the memory.
I'm not giving up hoping we can win the league yet. You can't do that, wee bit.
It's got you written off. You didn't win the lottery on Saturday night as well, Brian, did you?
I wish. No, that's a step too far.
I tell you what, if he did, I don't think he'd be on the phone to us tonight.
Can we just ask as well, Chris Doolan's doing a terrific job in coaching at Fir Hill.
Don't.
You're doing a terrific job, Brian, coaching at Fir Hill.
I don't know where this is going.
You know that fella Mark Wilson you used to play with at Dundee United? How's he doing coaching at Fir Hill?
He came in yesterday. He came in on Friday and his makeup was wrong.
Exactly. How bad is that, by the way? Hope you let him know tomorrow.
He gives me plenty of stick. He's actually given me the nickname Woody because he put it on your show years ago and people come up to me and say, you're Woody. So that's a wee bit of payback for Mr. Wilson.
I would apologise for that, but I really like it and we get good mileage out of it. Brian, top man, top weekend. Hopefully speak to you soon. Hopefully you're okay for the cup final as well.
Fingers crossed, guys.
Good luck.
Well done, Brian.
Good man.
Thank you.
Brian Graham, man of many different successes this weekend. Andrew's a Partick Thistle fan. You won't be as happy as Brian Graham this weekend, Andrew, but you might not be far off it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an emphatic win up in Dingwall for the men's team. And one I think that they needed after the playoffs last season.
Do you always, looking at the, you know, there's not that big a gap between the teams. You look at that and say that, you know, that was one you could kind of earmark as seeing a lower league team come out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, if I'm being completely honest, in the playoffs, we we only have ourselves to blame. It was we thistled it, is what we would say as Jags, with a collapse in the last 30 minutes. But I think everybody at Firhill knows that this is a team that can compete in the Premier League. And that was kind of my first reaction to seeing that we drew Livingston, was this is going to be a really good barometer of where we're at in terms of competing in the Premier League.
Is that fair?
I think it is. Don't take my word for it. Listen to David Martindale speaking after Livingston beat Raith at the weekend. He was just basically saying the sort of bottom four in the Premiership and the top four or five in the Championship, there's not that much of a difference between them. You would see that Airdrie beating St Johnson, Thistle beating County, Raith pushing Livingston really hard. So, you know, it wasn't an enormous surprise, Thistle going up. The thing what was a surprise was the margin of the victory up there, winning 3-0 against County. But they've got good players right through the team. I know Andy knows young Lewis Nielsen is on loan for Hearts, who's in there at centre back. They've got a decent keeper in Jamie Sneddon, and just through the spine of the team. And they've also got experience in key places. Stevie Lawless out wide in the right, you know, supplying a lot of Brian Graham's goals this season. The likes of Alan Muirhead at the back alongside young Lewis Nielsen makes a difference as well. And good young players throughout the team. Harry Mill, not too young now, the left back, very impressive player. And youngsters like Aidan Fitzpatrick and Ben Stanway, good players.
And to add to that, players that have got experience at the higher level, Brian Graham, Bannigan, you know, Scott Robinson as well, it's got experience at Livingston and Kilmarnock. So I think Chris Dolan has got a good blend of experience and youth in there, a lot of talent. And I don't think there's any doubt they'll fancy this game against Livingston in the next round at home.
Good man, Andrew. Enjoy the rest of your night. It's been a good weekend for everyone associated with Partick Thistle. And we will take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Keep the calls coming in. We can do transfers, we can do cup, we can do whatever you like whilst I give this question out.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Unbelievable question. So tough. I just love it because I can see it all, and it's not like, you know, it's obscure answers as such. And it's the crazy pony who sent it in. There are 9 players who've scored a competitive goal for at least 5 of the clubs currently playing in the Scottish Premiership. Some go in that half the league. So there are 9 players who've scored a goal for at least 5 of the clubs currently playing in the Scottish Premiership. Any that spring to mind?
How about Jim Hamilton?
He's always good for a question like this. Jim Hamilton, listen to this, has scored for Dundee, Hearts, Aberdeen, Ross County, Livingston, Motherwell and St Mirren. How many is that? 7.
Well, I could well be
7.
Colin Nash?
Nope.
It's got a hard question.
It is hard. It's really
difficult. I like it though.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'd say there's like, I don't know, in terms of sort of profile and various other factors that I won't mention.
5.
I think there's one obvious one. That only one. I mean, is it, I don't know, is it really obvious? It's just a name that I would expect you to get before some of the others.
I look at the table, you know.
I've just written the names down in the 12 teams to try and get it right.
It's a good starting point.
An obvious
one. That's a pass. Do you know what? That is a cracking question, though.
Isn't it just
brilliant?
So the thing I really need to know is you used to quite often text me for these questions, take them into the Hearts dressing room.
Yeah,
we do the same.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, especially one like this.
I think there's an audience for it there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 5 of the teams. So Jim Hamilton. Any others, Roger? Even just guesses at this point.
John Sutton.
Yes.
Oh, I honestly, it's a
Dundee,
just about to come at my
St Mirren, Motherwell, Hearts, St Johnston.
I've got 4, and maybe one I can't think of. Billy Dodds.
No.
I was thinking Aberdeen, Dundee, Rangers, St Johnston.
No, not on the list. Not on the list. Like I say, the obvious one I say is obvious for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Miller.
Yes.
Oh. Now
Hibs, Rangers, Celtic, Livy, Dundee.
Isn't that funny? Because Kenny Miller was an answer on Friday and his sidekick didn't get it.
He's quite often an answer on Friday.
What was the question? Can you remember?
Oh, it was ludicrous on Friday. Hugh and Jim Duffy were in.
Guys who have worn the number 9.
I pretty much.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I pretty much
spelled it out. Gave him his shoe size, date of birth, and everything. They couldn't get it.
And anyway, was Jim Duffy's first answer not something like Charlie Nicholas?
Oh, it was tough.
His second answer was me.
Anyway, we'll get back to that. It's a great question. We're going to speak to Scott in the not too distant future. Stuart just pipped him through. Hi, Stuart. How's it going?
You doing all right?
Hey, Stuart. How are you? All right.
Oh, aye, somewhere we're getting a take it in the Rangers kind of must be somewhere around Europe, maybe.
It is some weather indeed.
My howler of the weekend, Stuart.
Unilag got whacked by a gazebo, you said today.
Two, three foot, to be generous, away from me. Missed a car across the road by about that. That picture on my phone, imagine, if you want me to show you the ice cream.
Motherwell star signing.
Wiped out by a gazebo.
That would sum us up, our luck.
Do you think that would beat the Cup Broadfoot egg?
Aye, it'd be close.
That was brilliant.
The gazebo would be up there.
The one I always remember, didn't Canizares miss a major tournament, dropped aftershave on his foot?
Yep.
Who else? Remember who got injured by their own dog? Derek Riordan?
That rings a bell, actually.
Somebody's dog fell on them. Anyway, Stuart, I don't know what happened there. Transfers, what are you thinking?
I think Shankland of a Rangers player before the end of the week, definitely. Yep. Yes, 100%. Aye, it's just there's too much going on now. 100%. I think there'll be maybe two going out as well. I think there'll be three signings before the end of the week.
100%. Lawrence Shankland will be a Rangers player by the end of the week, says Stuart. And you'll know,
Andy. You're not a Hearts player anymore. Yeah, you can tell.
Come was he ill last week?
No.
How do I know? Was he there?
How did they kick you out of the group chat that quick?
I left Jambos forever.
Yeah. Did you actually need to do that?
Of course.
I know, I've just never thought about it. So what are you just like, do you say anything?
All the best. It's been a brilliant 3 years. I'll miss you, see you later.
And they left. That would be heartbreaking. I wouldn't like that. I think just stay in it now for a bit of company.
No, I've still got
a private one, aye.
With the wee click.
Is Lauren Shankland in it?
No.
How's he feeling?
No, it's the darts room. The darts room, we were close because we used to play darts every day. Aye.
Who's that? Who are the darts players in the Tynecastle dressing room?
Craig Halkett's very good.
Is he the best?
Stephen Kingsley's good. Xander Clark's good. Alan Forrest is no bad.
Right, okay. Anyway,
Liam Boyce is no great.
Roger, the Hearts fans are now getting really fed up with this stuff, and understand that your newspaper and every other newspaper and this radio show, and we hadn't spoken about it tonight. I hadn't even mentioned the guy. But Stuart's a Rangers fan. He's adamant it's going to happen. He's back training today, I think, by all accounts.
Play against Dundee tomorrow night.
Yeah, he won't be cup tied if he plays in that one. That's the other layer to it of the weekend. I think everybody, let's fast forward 8 days and see where we are, it feels like.
Well, exactly. And listen, it's not just us that are talking about it. Stephen Naismith, his pre-match press conference today, again, answering questions, and Lauren Shankland. He will be back in the squad. His little upset tummy is okay. And Hearts need him. We knew already Hearts needed him. I've said in this show before, there is no one team more reliant on one player in this Premiership than Hearts are and Lauren Shankland this season. So he'll be back in the team against Dundee tomorrow. I don't know whether he'll be a Rangers player by the end of this window or not, but as I've said before, if he is, Hearts better have a very good plan B.
What makes you so sure, Stuart?
A couple of pals I've been talking to that knows, one of my pals actually used to work for Hearts, and he was telling me Hearts would be daft to let him go. But he's full farmer and supporters. I mean, I could quite believe that Celtic were in for him, but he wouldn't, and obviously he's not going to go if he wants to go Rangers. But a couple of my friends I was talking to, he'll be a Rangers player by the end of the week, and I'd be shocked if it's not.
I mean, he used to work for Hearts as well, this guy Andy Halliday, if he still denies he has any.
Would you sure say 100%?
100%.
I'll say 90% he won't be a Rangers player by the end of the window.
Insider knowledge, no.
No, not at all. Why would that sell?
Could any club cope losing Halliday and Shankland in the same window?
The emotional distress.
I think Hearts can guarantee somewhere between 6 and 8 million if they finish third. They're obviously in a pretty position. Roger just said there that no team's more reliant on somebody's goals. If that's the case, why would you sell them for any less than the 3-4 million that's been reported? If that is the fee, would Rangers pay it? I'm not too sure.
Roger, if you get anything new to add to this ongoing, it's definitely a saga now. It's the only saga without any bids that I can remember. But
well, listen, Gordon, you made a good point. I think it was in Saturday's show when somebody mentioned this, and you said, on the 2nd of January, Philip Clement could just have said, I'm not going to be signing Lauren Shankland. And nobody's actually said that yet.
But so, there's been no bids, Roger.
Yet. Hold on, Sydney. What's this? Is this the 22nd?
Why would you wait to this point? It's a genuine question. It's not like a loaded question.
Now you're asking. Now you are asking. I don't understand it. I would try and get the business done as early as possible. Clubs don't. Clubs play a little game of brinksmanship. They take it right up to as late as they can on the 31st of January. I don't know why, but that's just the way it happens. Deals will be done between now and the 31st of January that probably could have been done in the first few days of the month, but weren't done.
Listen, you might be right. I just feel as if it's been talked about for a couple of weeks now. It's been reported. There's been a lot of rumours, but there's been no concrete offers, no, as far as I'm aware, no communication between both clubs.
Where is your percentageometer on the fact that Rangers will sign a striker, even if it's not him?
I'd be amazed if that's not 90% as well. I do feel as if they need a striker. I think it's the new report's been that Danilo's out for the season.
Yeah.
So close, then you're looking at it's between Fabio Silva and Dester for the battling out for the number 9 jersey. It's very, very early in his Rangers career, but Fabio Silva, I don't think he really looks like a 9 to me. Or it certainly doesn't look as if he's going to be an out and out goal scorer. Dessers has obviously came under, you know, some criticism throughout the season. Again, like I said earlier on the show, 10 goals in all competitions, not a bad return. But I don't think that Rangers fans would be happy if he's counted on week in, week out for them.
They'll need to sign a striker because Danilo's out, Roof's out, Lammers is gone. What, you know, even just the numbers game. Mm-hmm. What would happen if Cyril Dessers get injured? Because there's Seema, who would have been an option through the middle. He's injured as well now. That there'll be no option but to sign another striker before the window closes.
Stuart's very sure, but we'll find out in the near future, hopefully. What about Scott? Is a Motherwell fan. Did you witness footballing history at the weekend, Scott?
No, I didn't actually, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call.
You didn't miss much, don't worry.
No, I'd worked commitments on Saturday, so I wasn't able to get down to the game, but... I think bringing Andy to Fir Park, Andy, welcome to the club.
Thank you very much, Scott.
I think it's the type of player that I think we've been looking for, with, you know, that experience, been there, done it, good attitude, bit of dig, bit of desire. Hopefully he can push the players around him forwards for the second half of the season. And I think, I was talking to the producer earlier, Gordon, losing Beerus during this window came as obviously a surprise. But I think it just means that other players that will be around Andy, I think hopefully they'll just need to step up, as I think Blair Spittle showed on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, it pains me to say it. I prefer it when it's more confrontational between us, but... I've seen a lot of Motherwell fans kind of sharing Scott's thought would make him blush. You know, good signing, good pro, knows the level, will do a job, experience. These are all the things we've been hearing about our dear colleague Roger Hannah.
Did you pick the number 11? Were you handed the number 11?
I'm just about
Never. No, it was just it was already sitting at my place when I walked into the training ground.
Iconic.
I was shocked myself. It took me back to my Livingston days, the old tricky winger.
You always wear 16, don't you?
Yeah, but Paul McGinn.
You're
16,
not getting off.
No.
Who's the 11th? Faddy? David Cooper?
Did Faddy wear 11?
Oh, you should know.
Yeah.
If anyone here is going to know that, it's you.
I'm just pretending I don't. Yeah, I mean, is that how much, Andy, is the balance there between you want to go and play? Like, that's why you're there. You want to play football. Do you kind of relish the other side of it that Scott mentions? Sorry to, you know, age you, but you're now an experienced player, and maybe whether that's helping guys round about. You know, is that something that comes into the thinking?
Yeah, absolutely, and I take pride in doing that as well. When you talk about experience, I played with Lennon's dad, so I kind of think that kind of sums up my age and where I'm at. But no, listen, I've spoke highly of him before on the show. He's someone that I've admired for a far, as long as some of his teammates as well. I feel as if there's a, you know, it's a really good group. I think there's a lot of talented players, but obviously I feel as if you've got that unwritten role as inexperienced players trying to help the younger boys go through. And I feel as if Motherwell's almost been the sort of staple club, if you like, in Scotland over the years, that have brought quite a few number of players through for the academy. And listen, hopefully he stays as I'm sitting in the other fence now, so I hope Lennon Miller stays a Motherwell player for the foreseeable, and he continues to develop, and then no doubt with a top career if he does so.
It's still an important window though, Scott, isn't it? You mentioned Mika Beerith and Brody Spencer went. There is a new signing in the building today though, and I know that the club are keen to add more to that. Callan Elliott, not to be confused with Callum Elliott, who used to play for Motherwell. Important window, isn't it, Scott?
Aye, very, very much so, Gordon. I think we're maybe looking to hopefully add another striker to the books before the end of the window. But I'd like to just make a point, Gordon. There was a big chat before Christmas about Liam Kelly, you know, having the armband, being in the goals. And I think I probably talk for the vast majority of the Motherwell fans when I say that captain's armband or that leader needs to be somewhere about the middle of the park. I think Stuart Kettlewell's post-match interviews indicated that the instructions he was giving the players during the game weren't translating into the performances. And I think a player like Andy can hopefully drive the younger players around them to make sure that they're following that instruction of what Stuart Kettlewell's wanting them to do, because, you know, Stuart Kettlewell's a manager. We've got to respect that and hope that he can you know, put in a tactics and a team on the park that can win games and no struggle at the foot of the table. And I hope that Andy gets that game time, that he can take that experience and take the instructions and maybe not have the armband, but at least...
Good, I'm glad you cleared that up, because I like him, but I don't like him that much. He's going to need to win me over a bit more before I would go that far. Thank you to Scott on the line, wanting to get his thoughts across on new Motherwell signing, Andy Halliday, who is in the building, of course, tonight. But he's a man of many talents. He's thinking about his debut there. He's trying to come up with the answers to this teaser. It is a cracker. This is one I can sense you kind of forwarding on group chats, people listening and trying to come up with the answers, because it's excellent. Can you name 9 players who've scored for at least 5 clubs who are currently in the Premiership? So, like, Jim Hamilton did it for Dundee, Hearts, Aberdeen County, Livy, Motherwell, St Mirren. John Sutton's done it for at least 5. Kenny Miller has done it for at least 5.
Lee Miller?
No.
Ooh. What about Mixu?
Nope.
Stephen Thompson?
Nope.
Mark Burchell?
Yes, Mark Burchell. Celtic, Dundee, Hearts, Kelly and Livy. I couldn't have got Kelly in that list.
Yeah. What about the lad that scored against you the weekend, Conor Sarran?
Nope.
I think it's going to be
the incredible thing about one of these guys is not even a striker. There's one there who's not a striker. There's one that... Who are the other... The other guys that semi-recently have dotted about the clubs. Maybe there is a Motherwell link. In fact, there's a Motherwell link for 3 of the answers that who says Motherwell attract journeymen? Now, to be fair, like, a couple of these guys are more than that. All right, I'll give you some thinking time and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. One of the toughest teasers we've had in a while, but it's doable. I mean, you just need to work your way through it, but these guys don't have long. So thanks again to the Crazy Pony for sending in. Thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for helping us out with this teaser. So it's, can you name 9 players who've scored a competitive goal for at least 5 of the clubs currently in the Premiership? Really tough. So Jim Hamilton, John Sutton, Kenny Miller and Mark Burchell.
We've put our heads together over the break. Tony Watt.
Yes, and he's done it for another club in the Championship, of course, currently. All right, Celtic, Hearts, St Johnston, Motherwell, St Mirren.
What about Kelly and Sheridan?
Yeah, show me your working.
Working would be Celtic.
Yep.
St Johnston.
Yep.
Kilmarnock.
Yep.
Motherwell.
Mm-hmm.
Dundee.
Brilliant, well done. What's that, 3 to get?
We're going to try Paul Hartley.
Yes, well done.
Roger.
Hibs, St Johnston, Hearts, Celtic, Aberdeen. The 2 remaining ones, one of them in particular is so, so tough. It's even beyond you two, I think. Small clue for the other one.
Don't mind, yeah.
Couldn't object to that. Small clue, I'm just going to go era to you. Mm-hmm. You're looking very, very much a 90s.
I'm going to go Darren Jackson.
Go Darren Jackson. Well done, Darren Jackson. Hibs, Celtic, Hearts, Livy, St Johnston, one to get. If you two get this, I will be astonished.
And this is a striker, an attacking player.
Yeah.
Cool.
Kind of forward, it's like out and out striker, but Anyway, bit of scheduling news, if you're the type that keeps a diary. The 2024-25 SPFL season, I know we're thinking about it already. It's going to start on the weekend of the 3rd of August, if you're interested. What is more significant, I think, is the news today is that there is no winter break, Andy Halliday. They've done away with it. My guess is fans would say, good, can't be bothered with it, and it just kind of spreads the fixtures out and don't really get it.
Journalists will say very good.
Journalists will say very good. We won't need to fill hours of quiet airtime on here.
Will say no, so good.
You might not get your wee fancy trip to Dubai, but what do you make of it? That aside.
I mean, from a selfish point of view, I quite liked it.
I know, I can't ask you to put the Dubai trip aside. That's impossible, but...
Listen, if you can guarantee that Storm Isha's not going to come every time of the year and postpone fixtures, but we've not had many postponements. We've not had many postponements in the top flight this year.
It's not like we can pinpoint this 2 weeks, Roger, as the bad weather.
No. We'll still be having this in April.
What do you make of it, the decision to remove the winter break? So what... In my lifetime, it's been in and out and in and out quite a few times.
Yeah, I understand why they do it. I'm not a huge fan of it. Do we need a break? You know, we seem to cram about 10 fixtures into the month of December.
Exactly.
So we can get a break in January. So maybe it'll alleviate a little bit of the pressure on teams. Be interested to see how it all shakes down. I don't think... You know, there weren't too many teams went away. Celtic didn't go away. Hearts didn't go away. Aberdeen didn't go away. Yeah,
the full Hearts team seemed to go on some sort of holiday together. I noticed Andy wasn't invited, right enough. But the players obviously like the downtime. Have you noticed a change there? You know, Celtic.
It's an early start as well, 3rd of August.
That's always the first weekend in August.
No, is it? I thought it was about
Don't tell me you're still on the honeymoon.
First week. No, no. Was it not like the 11th or 14th August?
No, it was usually the first weekend.
I've even seen it at the end of July.
Yeah, there was one recently, wasn't there, a couple of seasons back. Listen, I'm just spouting dates at you. I don't think it makes much difference now. I mean, League Cup final, 15th December, perfectly in line with...
Yeah, it's the same as this season, yeah.
The headline is no winter break, isn't it? It's the first time in 4 years.
Yeah.
Scottish Cup final?
That's not an SPFL matter. It was an SPFL statement out.
I'm not going to say the date, but I did just book my wedding date last week.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Is that for
I ain't saying the date, though.
Is that for a year come the summer?
2025, yeah.
So
I'll tell you off air.
If Motherwell get to the cup final, you could be...
I'd like to think it won't be this day, but you never know.
It'll be the best weekend ever. Imagine it.
Wouldn't it be
Hugh Keevans would say, wholly unprofessional. I would just like to tell you, none of Gordon Dale's weddings clashed with the cup final.
it's SPFL key dates, so the Scottish Cup final date won't be out yet, or if it is, they've not made as much of a song and dance about it, and I've not noticed. But there we go, look at the panic in his face, because do a cup win, quite frankly.
I've lost in a final, so
if you... No, I was talking about Motherwell, but you're right,
and myself.
Now that you're there, yeah, the ultimate cup jinx, great. At least they might get to the final, though. Wait and see. Yeah, wait and see. That's it. I mean, that's
when
it.
I was born. Here's one for you. When I was born, Motherwell were Scottish Cup holders. 1981, they won the Scottish Cup.
What month?
I was
were you born
in October.
You're right, indeed. They're probably still celebrating.
Yeah.
Some nights out around the town. Speaking of which, something that's really been bothering me.
4-3.
Have you
family final?
Have you? And if not, would you be open to an invite to the Dazzler's flat at any time? I was thinking we in here, we should put together some sort of documentary where Gordon Dale and I show you the local area. There's not a great deal to see, but just to sort of get you acclimatised.
I'm all up for that documentary as long as it doesn't include the Dazzler flat.
No,
we can do everything in Motherwell except for the Dazzler flat.
He now welcomes passers-by in.
I've heard that story.
Week, yeah, but we could go to the door, and that way you would go to, so I don't know, like...
I can show me his door,
like Chernobyl. Like you would sort of see where it is, but yeah. You'd go in.
See if you do it. Please tell me your address is two guys for the postcode lottery.
Big check.
You think he's won?
That's a good shout, by the way. We could take you to the local sites. You should watch, see him just round up. We should follow him.
Asda,
always in Asda. Actually, bumped into him.
Is he the biggest name to come out of Motherwell?
Nah, I think undoubtedly. I think now he is. I think he's like, because of this show, he's now grown into it. Yeah. He's like the mayor. Just struts around. I saw him in the gym this morning, just weird. I'll bring it up with him tomorrow, but just like...
An unofficial mayor?
Some guy was like showing him how to deadlift properly and...
Was it Christian Daly?
It might have been Christian Daly. Do you know what? He's He's a deadlift expert.
Is he?
Christian Daly. Uh-huh. I mean, listen, if we're talking about Gordon Dale's deadlift technique, we've probably kicked the backside out of the show. That tells you we're nearly done. You've got one more to get on this teaser. Nine players have scored for at least five clubs in the Premiership. Some going currently in the Premiership. The teams: Jim Hamilton, Paul Hartley, John Sutton, Killian Sheridan, Kenny Miller, Tony Watt, Mark Burchell, Darren Jackson. I think I could tell you this guy's teams and you might not get it. Early 2000s, early to mid. Teams?
Yeah, go for it.
Motherwell.
Okie doke.
Aberdeen. Dundee. Livingston. Ross County.
He's been round the park.
I'm thinking most significantly Ross County.
Not Andy Dow.
No.
Stephen Craig.
Beautiful.
Honestly,
I played with him at Livingston.
If you put in those types of performances on the pitch on a Saturday, you and I will get on just fine.
He was a good mate of mine.
Where is he now?
Livingston.
Where's he now? What, like specifically tonight, or
he's assistant manager to another former Livingston player at a club.
Oh, so he is.
Right, let me. I'd be able to hazard a guess.
Oh no, you won't. You won't. I've just looked it up. Oh, if you
then
get this,
I wouldn't then. It would have been Callum Elliott's team. Maybe nope.
Jimmy Scott.
Oh yeah. No. They were pals at Livingston, so that makes sense.
At
is it Galaferidine?
No. Galaferidine. Things you never thought you would mention. Thank you, Motherwell's Andy Halliday, as he's now known, and Roger Hanna. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Who knows what the transfer window will throw up then. Looking forward to you joining us. Thank you for your company tonight. Much appreciated as always. Looking forward to speaking to you already tomorrow. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there, because Callum Gallagher is up next.